Here we go. Here we go.
Thank you for listening to Stu Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Today we'll be digging into the final episode of season 3 of Hey Arnold, going by production code order, and holy cuss, what an episode to end on. Let's have some feelings together. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
That's right. Also with us today is our surrogate father figure and super producer, Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's
kids spelled with a Z. Also with us today, helping us end this season on a high note, is returning guest extraordinaire Charlie Mack. And Charlie, how are you doing today?
I'm much better now that I got to hear you sing that song. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I'm trying to put us all in the highest spirits possible before we jump into this challenging episode, which, by the way, I'd love to pick your brain and get an idea as to why exactly you chose this one. Not to like lead the witness or, you know, suggest anything super out of the ordinary. We kind of know what we're getting into, but what drew you to this episode, Charlie?
Yeah, I picked this episode because I think it's one of the best ones out of all of the Hey Arnold episodes. I definitely have several Hey Arnold episodes that stand out in my memory, and this is one of them. I feel like when I was a kid and I watched this, I felt like I was watching something I wasn't supposed to see or something. It felt very exciting to see Arnold's parents, like I was getting a secret backstory that I wasn't supposed to know about. So I felt like I was like in on something. It was very emotional. A lot of emotions that I don't think I probably properly understood what I was feeling when I was a kid because I didn't really understand what was going on. But it's just a lot of big feelings and a lot of cool backstory for Arnold and this character that we already know so well but didn't know this very important thing about him. So I'm very excited to watch it again.
Yeah, I'm thrilled that we got the chance to I guess land upon it in the queue. We were going to hit it eventually, and today here it is. We're here to talk about episode 60 of Hey Arnold, and for those of you keeping track at home, that is season 3 episode 20, going by production code order, episode 20, season 3. This double length episode is of course called Parents' Day. Original air date December 28th, 1998. The Wikipedia sanctioned episode summary is as follows. It's a bit of a doozy compared to the rest of our episode summaries. It is time for the school's annual Parents' Day, which is a weekend of competition with teams comprised of a child and their parents. Arnold feels odd about bringing his grandparents, as he has not seen his real parents since he was a baby. After Big Bob calls Arnold an, and I quote, orphan boy, yikes, Arnold asks Grandpa Phil what really happened with his parents, and he finds out that they disappeared after they left the country on a plane, delivering medicine. Although they might still be alive, Arnold continues on with Parents' Day, rather with Phil and Gertie. He realizes even though they are not his actual parents, they raised him and made him who he is, which is what parents do. And a little bit of a special show note here that Wikipedia decided to throw in. Shoutouts to Wikipedia. This is the last episode with Philip Van Dyke voicing the character of Arnold, so something of an end of an era. Spencer Klein takes up the mantle, voicing Arnold starting with the first episode of season 4. So stay tuned for that when we get to it. And as we always do, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible. Larry Leechlater and Tuck Tucker co-directed this one. And writing credits for this episode go to Craig Bartlett, show author, show creator, etc., former guest, not to brag too much, and Antoinette Stella. So shout outs to everybody. Shout outs to the crew we've got here. This is, I think, a great and appropriate way to wrap up season 3 proper, and we'll start with Emily. Emily, what did you think about Parents' Day?
Oh my goodness gracious. Yeah, so this was a very exciting episode to get to. I know this is like a huge high mark in this series. And I couldn't remember if I had seen it or I'd just seen snippets of it and kind of knew about it. Especially because I want to first talk about like the backstory with it, is that when Craig originally pitched Hey Arnold, he didn't really get into Arnold's parents and that entire like backstory with Arnold's character. And he kind of was just talking through Arnold lives at a boarding house with his grandparents and a bunch of zany characters. And then, so this is kind of him backtracking, like closing a loop on this unknown that had been such a huge part of the series. We never really even in any given episode really talk about Arnold's parents. They're not even really brought up much until this doozy of an episode. And then, which also, of course, led into the Jungle Movie, but years and years later, not quite right away and everything. But yeah, so I just like pulled up the Wikipedia entry on it. But basically, it just says, yeah, Craig had pitched the show to Nickelodeon, offhandedly explained the absence of Arnold's parents by saying that they were travelers making documentaries, and that's why he lived with his grandparents. But apparently fans were writing letters and asking Nickelodeon, where are his parents? What's going on? That kind of thing with fans. And then Craig realized eventually that it needed to be addressed in the show. So in order to provide more of an explanation for their absence, he developed the idea that Arnold's parents were tragically lost in the wilderness while performing a humanitarian task. And it was directly made in this episode was directly made in response to the fans, and ended up being one of the most heartbreaking episodes of the series, is what it says on the Wikipedia. So yeah, this is just an absolute heartstring tugger of an episode. I have never cried as hard to an episode of Hey Arnold as I have to this one. I thought even just, I watched it last night before I went to bed, which I don't know that I recommend that. Maybe watch when you have something else you can watch after it, or get on a podcast and chat about it maybe after, if possible. But it's like, especially the scene where Arnold is dreaming and kind of in a nightmare situation about where were his parents when he was a little tiny baby boy with a giant football head. Where were they? He didn't know. He's trying to find them. It's like a psychedelic, trippy nightmare sequence. And then Grandpa scoops him up and says, "Oh, Arnold, the short man, let me tell you some stories, little guy." And that scene in particular just like got me like sobbing. And I think that's really the gist of what I take away from this episode, apart from it's a phenomenal episode. It really does such a good job of closing those loops for where Arnold's parents have been, this big giant unknown for the series. But I think the biggest takeaway I have is just like, apart from Arnold growing up and needing more of the truth about his own life and backstory and parents, it's just the amount of love and like care that is given with the characters and that's shown with Arnold's grandparents. Like the amount of love they have for him is, and the amount of sacrifices they've made for him to like help him grow up, raise him, help like guide him along the right path in life, and just like knowing that his parents are lost and presumed to be dead. They're not sure. It's been 9-10 years, right? However old Arnold is, since they've disappeared and we don't know where they are in a cell phone-less era, I suppose, and all of that. But yeah, it just, man. So I think what really got to me was just like, oh my God, Arnold's grandma and grandpa love him so much. It's like such unconditional, beautiful love. And the way they write it in the story, especially with the way Grandpa's telling him stories about his parents, or finally kind of telling the full story here that he's asking for now that he's growing up. It just, my goodness, it's so emotional and beautiful. And I can only imagine how much this would hit for any kid who is like Arnold. Right? Like any kid who is perhaps an orphan or was adopted or grew up without like the traditional nuclear family, I can't imagine how much this would hit home for someone like that. And I mean, you know, I have a different parenthood story than Arnold does, and it still is just making me sob like a baby. So I think it's an amazing storytelling episode. I love that they kind of very quickly showcase how Arnold is similar to his parents. You know, they're the big head in the cloud dreamers. They've got a lot of empathy. They're helping other people. They're interested in science and medicine and, you know, the quick allude to the serum at the beginning of the episode. We're not totally sure what they do, but they're just helping people, and science is involved in the jungle and stuff like that. But they're like adventurous spirits, and they're drawn up to really match Arnold and all of the things that Arnold's about. A lot of his own personality and everything is clearly drawn on there. And so those are my big takeaways. I think the fun of it too is seeing other people's parents, other side characters' parents for brief moments, and then kind of getting hit in the gut with everything Big Bob says to Arnold about, you know, calling him an orphan and all of that. But really the heart of this is the grandparents and their love for Arnold, and like how Arnold realizes that it's okay that he doesn't know where his parents are. It's still a big unknown to him, but at the end of the day, he does want his grandparents to show up at Parents Day competition. He loves them. He like kind of thinks through it and has the space to think through that. And sorry, I just keep going on and on about all of my thoughts, but it's just an amazing episode. It's clearly such a high point in the whole series, and hope you watch it with a Kleenex next to you.
Or a few. Yeah, Emily is right about everything. Perhaps especially the fact that this episode is a real a punch to the gut for Big Bob defenders like myself. Pretty indefensible. Maybe we'll talk more about that. But yeah, Harry, you were thrilled that Emily went first, and I totally understand why. Try and follow that up. No, what did you think about this episode, Harry?
No, yeah, I was going to say it definitely backfired, because I thought I would be able to compose myself if somebody else talked first, and instead Emily got me right in the heart. Emily said it all really well. I would just say that, like, this is an episode I've personally gone back to a lot, not to get sort of too personal with it, but like, it was very important for me in my like early to mid high school life, as I was sort of like going through some pretty tough times and some tumultuous years trying to figure out who I am and what I wanted and how I could sort of deal with some of the feelings that were beginning to emerge that I had about myself and the world in general. And I was really into modernism and postmodernism as a consequence of my English classes at that time. And this episode came along for me again. I rediscovered it around then. And the thing that this episode has to say about stories in particular, the stories that Grandpa tells Arnold to communicate this emotional truth, if not a literal truth, to Arnold about who his parents were and how much they loved him and how much their love for him was rooted in a love for everything and everyone. And the way that Arnold, even if he's not equipped as a child to fully understand what his grandpa is telling him through those stories, we see in like the sequence that I think is like maybe the high watermark of the entire series, this almost entirely visual animated sequence of Arnold first sort of thinking back through times that were tough for him when he was a child, and all of the times that from the very beginning, his grandpa and grandma's stories about his parents, they not only sort of protected him and insulated him from the things he was afraid of, but they also encouraged this sort of emotional truth through line that was transmuted from Arnold's parents to Arnold, where the love that they had became the love that Arnold had. And you can see how his creativity and his love from his grandparents, that he received from his grandparents through those stories, became who he was. There's that sequence where he and his grandma and grandpa fly together on planes up into the sky, a very clear metaphor of sort of taking flight, like leaving the nest, like coming of age, and also this pursuit of this hope that Arnold has for his parents. And that's only half of the episode, right? Like that would be enough for any episode. But this is also a Helga episode, right? Like she is more of a supporting character than she generally is. But the other half of this show and sort of like are both this episode and this show in general is the way that Arnold's love that he received, that he inherited from his grandparents, he is able to bring forward and use to impart like that love on the world in a way that it can be communicated and then transmitted to Helga, right? Like Helga is a person from a similarly tough background and doesn't have a lot of the things that a lot of kids have, but because of her love from Arnold, which is a sort of direct inheritance from Arnold's love from his grandparents and from his parents, she is able to come into sort of like contact with this love and use it to see her way through the troubles that she would be having. And on like an honest to God, like spiritual level, that idea that like your love can be translated through your actions to other people who then can use that to continue to pay it forward is like deeply like important to me as a human being. And I didn't just get it from Hey Arnold, obviously. But it's not an exaggeration to say that like Hey Arnold was like a fundamental part of that journey for me. And especially framing it in this sense that like, it's not going to make life easy, right? Life isn't easy for Helga and it's not easy for Arnold, but it is like worthwhile, right? Like having that hope and getting in that plane at the end of the episode and flying off to look for his parents, even though they might be gone, is worth it. And it's worth it because of what it actually does. Is just like really, really tremendously potent and unimaginably like generous and beautiful to share with really with anybody, right? Because I think I was like 16 when I figured that out, but like especially with kids. So to say that this is a very, very important and good episode is kind of an understatement, right? But we'll keep talking about it because it's also still an episode of Hey Arnold somehow, right? Like it's still funny. And grandma and grandpa are still really good in it. And all of these characters have great character moments, which is kind of wild for a half hour television show that it can sort of like be an entire thesis on what it means to be a good person and also be like a funny, good television show. But they done did it, in my opinion. So let's hear what everybody else thinks now. And I'm going to mute myself.
They did it, Harry. Couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah, everybody has kind of illustrated their personal histories and trajectories with this episode. And kind of similar to Harry, this was, I mean, an episode that I definitely watched, you know, making the rounds on, you know, Nickelodeon reruns when I was a kid. And like going through high school, nearing the end of high school, getting ready for sort of the next stage of the journey. You know, I can't remember what exactly got me there, but I definitely landed upon, and this kind of gets back to my sort of self thesis when we first started this podcast about my sort of like revisiting things that I cherished from an artistic standpoint, things that were really formative for me, even if I didn't really know like why, or what the specifics of those things were. And so like in high school, there's a definite point where I got thinking about like episodes like this. I mean, it was definitely, you know, episodes like Parents Day and The Journal, I think kind of two like spiritually similar episodes. We'll get to The Journal eventually, of course, but, you know, I thought of this episode and I guess, Craig, if you're listening, please don't like beat me up. Nobody sue me. But this was also when I started exploring the realm of torrenting and I own the DVD box set now. I've made good on capitalism. Again, please don't get my keister. But you thinking about the things that that I wanted to hold on to and retain from, I'm twisting this so it doesn't sound like I outright stole, which I did, but just like thinking about the things that I wanted to like have and revisit from my youth that felt so important. Again, even though I'm not sure why, like I think about these episodes and I think about the tough bedside conversations, the specific animation choices, the Jim Lang all time decisions, to write the music in the ways that he did. And like, when I think about like my desire to coming into this little project of ours to recontextualize how I felt about, you know, the show, certain episodes, certain moments, like I think of this, it's this episode, absolutely that jumps to mind. And so like seeing it again with fresh eyes, albeit like, you know, tear riddled eyes for a lot of the time, and remembering that this is an episode that, as everybody has been saying, yeah, it has like really soulful, self-affirming dialogue. We see Arnold's grandparents at their most somber in certain stretches of this episode, but it's also an episode of multiple parts of two halves. Like Harry was saying, it's a great action adventure sort of episode, both within the framework of the jungle and this Parents' Day, this obstacle course that everybody's in, these very various relay races that everybody's running. We got some good over evil at the end. The evil in this case is Big Bob, that son of a gun. Only saying son of a gun because I don't want to curse. I want to pace my curses at this point. Arnold learning from his dreams, as Emily and others have said, perhaps the best example of that in the whole series. Everybody's in the mix. I feel like we haven't seen Gerald in a while, and Gerald is here, like supporting his buddy. And it all culminates in this really like what you want to get from this television show. All of it compacted into, you know, a 23, 24 minute episode. You know, it feels weird to say that it is perhaps the episode of Hey Arnold because we have to wait until season 3 to get there, but the wait is worth it. The buildup is important. And I should have committed this to memory, but I feel like in the original airing schedule, they may have held off on this a little bit. I saw some note about this airing. I mean, the original air date was like with the rest of these, but it got like held for season 5 or something like that. But anyways, that's in broad strokes. I don't know where we want to take it from here, but that's just sort of my experience with this episode. It's a darn good one. So somebody else should start talking before I start tearing up again.
Sure. Yeah, I think one of the standout pieces of this episode that hit me this time that I don't think I totally remembered is that it's very clear that there was a period of time, and maybe a long period of time, where Arnold knew that the stories that Grandpa was telling him weren't real. And he was just going along with it anyway because he really wanted to hear the stories. And that never really hit me as a kid. And now it's like so sad now that I know about it, because we don't know how long of a period that was. Especially because when Grandpa tells him like, oh, you know, they were actually scientists and this is where they went. They basically went on like a Balto-like mission to help people, right? Like they really were heroes. And Arnold's like so surprised because he thought that it was all like 100% made up and he just wanted to go along with it anyway. That was really emotional. And I think it's very interesting how Arnold is just kind of starting to get to that age where he can, all of his abilities to compare and contrast himself with other people are developing. His perspective taking skills are developing. His ability to imagine himself in another scenario and see what that would be like. Those are all there now, right? Like he's 9 years old. So all of these stories kind of have a new context to him. And it's changing his relationships with his grandparents because he's seen them in a real world context rather than just in the abstract of loving them and knowing what that's like. Now he can see it from an outside perspective of what it's like. And it's really interesting to watch him come to terms with it, where he is seeing it from an outside perspective for the first time and being uncomfortable with it and not liking it, and then reflecting on it and realizing that he does love it and he loves them, and that he understands the outside perspective and he understands how it could be different if his parents were there, but just kind of comes to terms with it all and is okay with that and loves them and continues on. I think that's just really powerful, and it's great as he's getting older to show that happening.
I really, really like the way you characterized that. Arnold essentially goes through like an existential crisis in this episode, right? It's like you had said, where all of a sudden, if it wasn't always apparent, and I think you can make the argument that Arnold slowly learns it's apparent over the course of the series, that he possesses these traits, right? Like that he is a dreamer and an optimist and someone who always sees the good in people and someone who never gives up on people no matter what. Those are like Arnold's traits. And I think that in this episode, he like identifies that for the first time, or like he's starting to. And we also get to see a version of Arnold who, in the face of that, he doesn't know if he can do it all the time, right? Like all of a sudden he has, I'm just playing to Charlie at this point, but he has a very Kiki's Delivery Service moment in this, right? Where it's like, now that I know that my persona is something that I take ownership of and in some ways affect, I don't know if I can anymore, right? Like being Arnold all of a sudden looks like work to Arnold for like the first time. And it's because he maybe just doesn't have the strength when he feels so low to be able to be there for his grandparents, right? But then the other thing that you characterize so well is that this is a reaffirmation episode, right? Like he ultimately comes to embrace who he is, and he comes to embrace it by this sort of like very active taking up the mantle of the feelings and the emotional truth of what his grandparents were trying to impart on him through their upbringing of him. But it's also, like you had said, it's a very conscious thing, right? Like we see it in a dream sequence because that is who Arnold is as a person. He doesn't process the way that Helga does. One would think that like if there was a Helga version of this episode, maybe she would like have a monologue about it instead, but that's just not who Arnold is. But like he is consciously choosing that perspective, right, among all others. And I think it's really important that we see him do that, right? Like we see him say, okay, there is a chance that these stories may not be true, right? That maybe my grandparents aren't like real parents to me. Maybe I really am missing something. And then we see him choose to reject that in favor of what he finds to be his truth, which is that, as he says to his grandparents in like one of the most like knockdown drag out moments of the entire episode, he's like, you two are real parents to me, right? Like there's so much embodied in what he says there, because it's like, it's this chosen reaffirmation of that whole history and what it produced in him and what he can use to produce in others, right? And that's also why it's so important to see how it affects Helga as well. That's no less important, I think.
Yeah, I really think maybe part of why this episode 2 stands out so much like it does, apart from it's just like an incredibly written, beautiful episode, all of that aside, it's like, it stands out, I think, because we're actually focusing on Arnold, which almost sounds weird to say. The show is obviously Hey Arnold, but so many episodes, especially this season and the past couple seasons, we've been spending a lot of time on Arnold's relation to other people, or how Arnold would insert himself into someone else's drama, maybe to try to help fix a problem, or how someone like Helga is behaving towards him. And we haven't spent a lot of time, at least maybe in this season, but maybe in general in the series, just being like sitting with Arnold and his feelings and what's going on with him. Because, and again, part of it being this whole backstory where it was kind of an avoidance thing of not dealing with what is happening with Arnold's parents, kind of the series just writing around that up until they couldn't anymore. But it's like we're actually sitting with Arnold, the person, the character, the kid who's coming of age and wants to know more about himself, and through that can understand better about his own grandparents, can understand that sacrifice and that love, can understand his love for them. It has like so much more he's just processing, and it's not on behalf of someone else necessarily, although obviously the grandparents here are the other big side to the story, but it's about like them giving him space to just sit with that. He has the time to dream. He has, which he needs to do. He's Arnold. He's got a dream. Boy's got a dream. But he also, I think in that dream sequence even, which is kind of a question I had for y'all, is it sort of turns from that psychedelic nightmare where Grandpa scoops him up and helps him out, starts telling stories to protect him. It then turns to more of like what seems like kind of memories, or just like dream-like memories of him growing up at different ages. When you just, I mean, I don't even know, because I was sobbing during those sequences. So I kind of saw it, kind of didn't, you know what I mean? Just a lot of allergies or whatever is going on with watching this episode in the spring. No, but like, you guys know what I mean. Just, yeah, we're just really sitting with Arnold and him as a character instead of just his relation to someone else.
The Christmas episode with Mr. Wynn is an earlier version of this where it's not about Arnold, right? Because we have this character who is a parent who's been separated from their child and they don't know where they are and they don't know if they're coming back. And Arnold takes this very personally and really wants to connect these two people and has this deep yearning for it. I don't know, Cody, you said maybe this wasn't on Craig's mind when he was doing this episode, but I do think that it's interesting to see from an outside focusing on Mr. Wynn trying to have this parent and child missing connection, and then to come back to it, what, two seasons later, and focus on how Arnold feels about that, even to the point where, maybe this is wrong, but you know, it's like even focusing on the clouds, because the pink clouds were such a standout in this episode for me. And there's definitely a scene in the Christmas episode where Arnold just stares up into the clouds. Well, you know, that music that just makes you cry after one note is playing in both episodes. And the clouds are like a motif that follow between both of those. Then the yearning that happens in both of those episodes, from Arnold's behalf and then like on Mr. Wynn's behalf. I think it's kind of a interesting parallel that they have in those two episodes.
And the clouds, oh my God. I mean, and because we're introduced to Arnold's dad and he's daydreaming and staring up at the clouds, right? And it's like, oh, like that is such a big part of why Grandpa loved Arnold's dad. And through this sort of trauma, even, they were able to impart that onto Arnold and make that something that Arnold could possess like his dad possessed. And that's what Helga falls in love with, right? And it's like that that through line is so moving, especially when you consider the way that it's about overcoming and course correcting away from trauma, right? I mean, like, especially in Helga's case, this is sort of like, it's dramatic to say it this way, but like this entire show is about the battle for Helga Pataki's soul in so many ways, right? It's like Helga has this forked road ahead of her as she's growing up where she could become like her parents, like Big Bob, right? Or she could become the person she wants to be. And it is through that love that she possesses of Arnold that she is able to navigate that path toward her own version of self-determination and overcoming the strife and trauma that she's had to deal with. And like in this episode, we see like superhero origin style, how that is actually like a legacy that has been happening for generations, right? Like that's something that Grandpa and Pookie taught Arnold to do, and it's something that he was able to impart onto Helga, and so on and so forth. I really love the point about Mr. Wynn, because this really is like, this is like the episode of the X-Files where you learn about Fox Mulder's sister, and it's like, oh, that's why, right? Like, that's why he's obsessed with finding the aliens. Like, there were a bunch of episodes where this dude, this weirdo, was just like, oh, I gotta find the aliens. And then you learn, it's like that, but with Arnold, it's like, why is this kid so good? Right? Like, why is he just this like moral paragon, and why is he capable of solving other people's problems this way? And then this episode finally like provides an answer that way. I don't think that was that much of a stretch, Cody. I see the faces you're making at me.
I look, shout out to our listeners who are also fans of the X-Files who understood that. I envy you. I wish I knew, but I'm sure it was a really good parallel. Thank you,
I'm really
Harry. I'm getting nods
dating
in the
myself
chat.
Too, right? It's like, can you tell that I'm a guy who turns 30 this year who's making a podcast about a 90s cartoon, and then I brought up the X-Files? I'm old as dirt, guys.
If there was an episode for emotions, it's this one, Daddy-O. And I'm going to try my best to pull from kind of with the three of you all bits and pieces of what y'all have been talking about. And I also gravitated toward, Emily, what you were talking about, in that this was, everybody's talking about the clouds, hashtag the clouds. We're not going to get that trending, but just the fact that we are sort of, we've said this a lot lately, but just like the show doesn't really so much like return to form, because it doesn't really stray from, form. Necessarily, but getting back into what we, I think back to little baby, us back when we were wee little podcasters at season one, talking, we're sitting with Arnold in his room. We're like really sitting with these emotions. This feels, you know, a certain way. And like the show went on and did different things, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but we do get more of that, this time around. And not to like demystify this or make this sort of like, sound maybe a little boring. Maybe I'm just projecting and cushioning my landing for this, but like by nature of this being a twice as long episode, you know, the dream sequence, we've been talking about it. It is different in that there is, I think of dreams that Arnold has, and they are sort of like a one-way trip. Like they exacerbate this particular feeling that he has. He comes out of it and then he sort of deals with it. I don't think until this point he's really had the through line of like, you know, he's going through some stuff, but something is there to catch him. In this case, his grandparents, like he has that realization. He learns through the act of dreaming. That is, I mean, he's always learning through his dreams, but we see that more viscerally now. He's putting that together in like multiple different stages. And maybe that is just plainly by nature of it being an episode that's twice as long, whereas like with a half as long episode, maybe we get it to where Arnold is competing at Parents' Day. He goes home, lies on his bed, and we only see like the first half of his dream where he's fretting about, you know, his nuclear family status. I was thinking about the 4th of July episode a lot. We're taking bits and pieces of similar things from that.
Episode.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 4th of July, Thanksgiving. You're right. I should clarify, depending on what team you're on. One thing I did, you know, the Arnold sitting in his room having this dream sequence. I think it was also you, Emily, who talked about like kind of the universal appeal, despite like what your kind of situation may be. And I got thinking while watching it this time around of Arnold. You can see the gears turning when Big Bob makes that comment of like, and honestly, even leading up to Parents' Day, like Arnold is sort of in a fight or flight situation. And he doesn't, I mean, he knows why, but he can't really put it into words. He just, when something like the term orphan boy hits him, he just has to stand there and just kind of take it all in, let that pain kind of wash over him for a moment. And that sort of feeling where you didn't realize something bugs you until it hits you in the face, and now you have to sort of like deal with it. Whether it, your situation pertains to what Arnold is going through, or if you can't really relate to that specifically, but generally. And so the seeing Arnold take this next step. And in my mind, kind of us being granted the ability to see him process that in an extended different way gets to, we were talking about with Arnold's Christmas, I guess shouting that out in a different sort of way. The things that Arnold goes through that episode feel like they carry through to the rest of the series. I think this episode is another instance of that, where like him sort of, I mean, not to like shoot my shot before we watch the last two seasons, but like this feels so, conscious and definitive. I don't know. Harry, am I talking out of my butt, or do you think that makes sense?
I think that's a perfect way to put it. And that's like something that Charlie said at the beginning that really unlocked a lot of this episode for me, right? Is that like, this is Arnold's self-possession episode. Like, this is the first time, I think I agree with you. I was thinking really hard while you were talking, and like, this has to be the first time that Arnold consciously sort of looks at his dreams, which have always been something that happened to him, and then like comes to a conclusion about those dreams. At the end of the episode, he's literally in the pilot seat, right? And he's literally flying up into the clouds of his own will and his own direction, right? This is like Charlie had said, like, this is the first time, or we see Arnold starting to be conscious about who he is, and we see him starting to choose the best parts of himself, right? And choose to make those the realest parts of himself. And he does it through his imagination, which was a gift to him from his grandparents, right? And like, it's such a beautiful way to put that. So I agree with you. I mean, like, you could even read this as like the completion of Arnold's arc, which is, I wonder why, or I wonder if that's why they held off on it for so long. By the way, I did find that, and it aired in 2000 as part of season 5, which was the final season. In the US. In the UK, it actually aired when it was supposed to. People speculate it's because, that's when the movie was coming out, and they wanted like a big banger to sort of like get people ready for the movie.
So, have I been reading off UK original air dates this whole time?
I doubt it. I mean, maybe. But hey,
you're talking about
like
bangers. I'm thinking bangers and mash, baby. That's a UK thing, right?
We're
appealing
like
to a wider audience.
Canonical, yeah. One anyway. But yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you. I think that like it's interesting the way Emily noted that like we don't get a lot of this from Arnold, but the arc is there, and I think it completes here. I think this is Arnold, and my one of my favorite things about the entire episode is he self-actualizes and affirms those character traits in the most Arnold way possible, where it's immediately about other people, right? Like he comes down the stairs, and you can see him put together that, oh, like the Parents' Day thing is important to my grandparents. Like it means a lot to them that I affirm them in this way. And so he says, like, I would like to go to the Parents' Day thing, because he knows what that means for his grandparents, right? So he's like giving it back immediately. And that's such a perfect example of just like Arnold saying, like, okay, like now I know who I am and I know how I can use it. And here it is. Man, I wish that I had that sort of self-determination as a 9-year-old or a 29-year-old.
You do though. I think that Cody's giving me the business on the camera here. I think everything y'all are saying is so good. The points you're drawing on from Charlie, the episode of Arnold's Christmas that you guessed it on as well so kindly, thank you. I think, yeah, there's so many episodes like that where it's just sort of hinted at what's going on with him, and the fact that, yeah, he's just with his grandparents, even if they don't even mention that he doesn't have his parents. But we did just have that one other episode with Road Trip. So basically a Mother's Day episode, kind of, at least at the start of it, with Helga and Miriam hitting the road. And you just see Arnold like in the background of the classroom, and all the kids are writing cards for their moms. And Arnold's just like making, I forget what it is, but is he making a sculpture of him and Gerald or something like that? It's more of like friends or,
oh man,
or his grandparents. I can't remember what it is. I'm sure a fan can help correct me in the comments. But yeah, so we've just kind of touched on that. And then this is finally like drawing up the full loop and closing it. And I almost am just like so impressed that you can go backwards and write such like a realized backstory and tie it together in such an emotional way, in a way that feels so fitting and true to each of the characters, like Arnold for sure, but also his grandparents. Also, yeah, those parents seem to make sense. Their characters seem to make sense as far as we can tell. Like, it just hits the nail on the head all across the board, I think. But I'm so impressed too of just like the storytelling that Grandpa draws on, and again the whole dream sequence and slash memory sequence, and thinking a lot about you. Now I'm sorry, I'm just rambling now thinking about how amazing the episode is, but Harry was making me think of how, so we have Grandpa as an incredible storyteller, imaginative and everything like that, and we have Grandma in those memories and sequences being a cowgirl and like just being so playful with little baby Arnold. And so you see he's got this dreamy, imaginative, playful energy to him, and this optimism that they've imbued in him, despite the fact that like they don't even know where his parents are. And Phil is clearly just assuming that they are lost. They're like dead, not just lost. He's assuming they're dead somewhere and that their plane probably crashed or something. But we don't, we just kind of go, oh yeah, sure, Arnold, like maybe they're still out there. It's possible. But even like this is just sort of a cliffhanger on that, while still closing the loop of Arnold does have parents. Here's who they are. Here's what they mean to him and his grandparents. We don't really know what happened to him still, but we eventually will. But like in the jungle movie. But yeah, it just, it's doing so many things and closing so many loops in such a beautiful way.
Totally. Harry, I was going to half pivot. Did you want to take respond to that more directly?
I was just going
to
say, I really like the way that you characterized that, Emily, because I think that especially when you consider Grandpa's storytelling, it really brings home the point that this story could mean so many things, right? Like the fact that it could be interpreted in so many different ways. You could derive wholly different people out of these circumstances, and much sadder ones, right? Like this is the defining trauma of Grandpa's life, right? But he turns it into something that he can use to make a person like Arnold, right? And then Arnold does the same thing. He inherits the same storytelling power that his grandpa has, in order to make himself into the type of person who can do the things that Arnold does for people like Helga, right? And it's that was the thing that spoke to me so much, right? Back when I was in high school or whatever, right? Was this idea that like, oh, you get to choose what your life means to you, right? Like you get to like take all of the storytelling elements that you have, that are your past, you get to determine what they mean and what they're going to mean and how you're going to use them going forward. And I think that this is such a good example of both that and how that is not just something you do, but something that is done for you and something that you do for other people, which is really amazing.
Yes, absolutely. And that actually helps me in my little transition. The sort of the trauma that we're talking about, the immaculate storytelling, the gesturing at the sort of the line that these showrunners and writers and Craig Bartletts of the world, and there's only one Craig Bartlett, that they sort of tiptoe in like crafting this thing that's not, it's appropriately traumatic so that, you know, we as youth learn what trauma is and like how these things can look and feel without being too traumatic. And I think, like you said in your opening thoughts, Harry, this is like any other episode of Hey Arnold, extremely like funny and like warm-hearted and like good-spirited. This is as yet another entry in the echelon of great Dan Castellaneta slash Grandpa Phil episodes. and I guess maybe it's just, I mean, it's kind of, as we've said before, definitely like a cheat code that he is, I mean, that he's voiced by such, you know, by one of the greats, but also the fact that his character can, that he is so playful with the fourth wall. And, you know, it's kind of, again, cheat codes, but it's unfair that in an episode like Parents Day, he's able to poke and prod at the, you know, the thematic elements of the show, and just like, an oh so painfully illuminating boyhood problem is on the horizon here, and then he you know, appropriately turn on a dime, craft these excellent stories. And we not that this episode is only funny because of Grandpa, this is a pretty, I think, rich cast. I would love to hear kind of who stood out most to y'all, but I the sort of Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd nature of, or the dynamic between Grandpa and Big Bob, for as big as a big of a butthead as Big Bob is, having him built up, you know, crafted this episode in sort of like a big bad kind of way to face down against Grandpa, who's been working out in secret. He's secretly the most fit man in all the land. You simply love to see it. It's a tremendous lift for athletes everywhere. Emily and I know what that's all about. What felt good to y'all this episode? I mean, everything felt good, but like in a good, like obvious, warm, funny kind of way, with the ha-has and not like the cry-cries. Emily, give us the ha-has.
The ha-has and not the cry-cries. Let me see what I got here. I think one of my favorite moments, the more lighthearted moments, is when Grandma and Grandpa are arriving at the Parents' Day competition. They have the adorable outfits on. Like, they look so good. And especially together, you have the shots of them together that I'll have to take screenshots of. But love to see those. But they start doing a cheer for Arnold as they're getting out of the car. And it's something about, he's got zest. Arnold, Arnold, sis, boom, bah. Go, Arnold! And it's like, oh my God, they love him so much. They are so funny, so sweet, and like they're just having a great day. And they know this is probably a tough day for him. They understand it. They get it, you know. But they're not going to stop being Grandma and Grandpa. They're going to be doing an Arnold sis boom bah cheer and try to beat Big Bob and the Pataki family. So I really, really love that moment. I did write down their cheer.
Love that Arnold, in order to demonstrate how out of sorts he is, he's like giving them Max Goof energy, where he's like, can you guys shut up, like the whole time. And it's like, Arnold, come on, like this is not you, my man. But it's so effective, right? Because it's so evocative of like exactly what that situation would feel like. And like it's so easy to love Grandma and Grandpa for just sort of like working just a little bit too hard to try to get him pumped back up, but we're still so sympathetic of Arnold at the same time. Yeah, that's such a good character moment for all of them.
Yeah, I loved getting to see all of the different parents, even some parents that I don't think we've ever seen before. I love that Phoebe's parents won. It makes so much sense. They're so great together. Every time we see them together, they're like so great. I'm surprised that Big Bob didn't talk about how he won this trophy with Olga or something, but that would have made sense. And yeah, I loved Helga, after talking to Arnold in the best way that she knows how, being like, I think that went well. Like, she has so little experience talking with people honestly about emotions that she's like, I did great. Like, that was a really good conversation.
Yeah, that scene is also so important, right? Because like it's so important to demonstrate that like both Arnold and Helga are not like actually equipped to deal with any of this, right? Like Arnold has to do it with his weird, no offense Arnold, we love you very much, dream sequences. And Helga needs to do it with this like hyperactive, hyper self-conscious performance constantly. And I think like in terms of the sort of like tools that Craig Bartlett was always talking about, like it's so important to show that, right? To show that like these are very great, very wonderful kids. They are still kids, right? Like, and so you're just going to have to trust your gut and like know that you're not actually equipped to deal with everything all the time, but you have good instincts, you know?
Yes, I really love the Helga note. I loved her walking away and being like, hell yeah, that was great. What a great chat with my boy. But then, of course, what to your point, Harry, she doesn't just deal with it in a normal way or whatever. She deals with it all in a Helga way and sabotages her own family from winning the competition by being like so upset with her dad for saying the orphan thing, because totally valid, and was emotionally gutted by hearing that. What a horrible thing for a dad to say so like that. It was, oh man, we're all upset about Big Bob.
Yeah, is that the most
scenes.
Upsetting thing that ever happened on the show? Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
He said it like twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very upsetting. And so, but she deals with that by just being like, okay, I'm going to secretly sabotage my own family's team here. I'm going to whisper to Grandpa, get him in the ankles. He's weak in the ankles or whatever. So that Grandpa can then eventually knock Big Bob down with the Q-tip competition on the pole that they're balancing on. The whole competition we could talk about, it's like a Nickelodeon Double Dare or something. It's like a bunch, it's one of those game shows where it's just none of the competitions or whatever make any sense. You're throwing an egg and it's landing on you, and the whatever, the Q-tip things, props, which who made those? Did Simmons make those? But it was making me think back to, like, the 90s era of not just Nickelodeon game shows, but there were, like, so many game shows like that on, like, NBC, ABC, whatever. Prime time.
Just to go back to Charlie's point about the Christmas episode, this is another really great example of that, right? Is that, like, Arnold is the architect of his optimistic future where everybody self-determines as befits them, but Helga's the engineer, right? Like Arnold is the guy who wants to get Mr. Wynn his daughter, but Helga's the one who accosts that dude as he's leaving the child services and is like, no, you gotta get back in there because we're gonna make this happen. She even says in that episode, it's one of my favorite lines, she's like, for that football headed kid with no sense of reality, right? And so I love that too, right? It's like, yeah, of course, like, ultimately, Grandpa should triumph over Big Bob because that is what is right. But Helga's the one who's like, go for his ankles. Well, like, if you want this to happen, like, that's how it happens.
Yeah, I mean, Helga is just so protective of Arnold, right? Because Arnold sees the world in such a pure and sweet way that she does not. And she just wants to keep that as long as she possibly can because right. She loves it. And her dad, who she kind of hates, was threatening that. So it makes sense for her to hit him where it hurts. Nothing she said could have hurt him. But losing that trophy is going to hurt Big Bob. So it makes a lot of sense.
They're Kiryu and Majima, right? Is what you're saying? Is that Arnold is Kiryu and Majima is Helga? Sorry. Okay, I'm done.
Is that an X-Files thing?
Yeah, that's probably an X-Files thing and probably correct. But I want to just continue to throw a little bit more shade at Big Bob while we're at it, because Helga and him are wearing Big Bob's Beepers t-shirts, like his marketing merch. Like he's trying to win the competition on behalf of his goddamn Beeper business empire thing. Also, the most ridiculous business you could possibly have, right? That's part of the joke. But he does say too in the middle of the episode, which is really driving home the point of like, yeah, whoever that he's going, oh, whoever wins this is the best parent, and like clearly missing the point entirely, and also driving home like the ironic nature of, well, no, he's not, he's all about competition. But he really talks to Helga and is like, no, we need to win this for me, this is about me. He's a freaking selfish piece of work, that one.
Right. Well, and like, remember when he even, like, he does, like, the scummiest stuff imaginable this episode? Like, at one point he says, I took time out of my busy schedule to come and do this little competition with you, Helga. And it's like, man, that's, like, Disney villainy, like, absolute, like, the bad mom in the Parent Trap levels of, like, obvious villainy. And then there's even, like, he yells at his wife, like openly during the competition. It's really terrible stuff, but important, I think, an important offset to what else we've got going on in this episode. So maybe like Big Bob Defender Corner for you, Cody. We needed a villain, you know? This episode needed a villain to be defeated, and Big Bob fulfills that role with aplomb, I think.
He is the neighbor king. That's true.
Yeah, that's 100% correct. Thank you, Charlie.
Yes. Slightly lesser villain being Mr. Sims for constantly hammering home, it's your parents, instead of saying grown-ups like you're supposed to. It's a known thing that you say your grown-ups instead of your parents when you're speaking with little kids, but I digress.
Well, and it's like, Simmons, you know this about Arnold.
I mean, Mr. Simmons probably, like, realized that 2 weeks later and, like, cried about it. Like, you know, he was, like, so upset at himself, but, like, didn't want to talk to Arnold about it. Like, you know, he meant well.
He probably did. Two quick things. One, you either die a Beeper King or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And second, to answer your question from earlier, Harry, despite all of the upsetting controversy riddled things that Big Bob said this episode, they were not the most upsetting things uttered and undertaken in this series today. Lest you forget, Arnold betrayed Iggy at one point. There was a whole episode about it. Check the podcast feed.
I don't remember that episode, Cody. I'm sorry. No recollection of the episode to which you refer. Scrubbed it from my mind. I don't know. I've never seen it. I don't think. No idea what you're talking about.
All right. Well, hey, to each their own. This is me opening the floor very casually to anybody else for anything else that they would like to call out from this episode. Shout outs, just anything else we would like to float out there before we shut the door on season 3.
Yeah, I'd like to first of all give a big shout out to Stoop Kids Pod because Harry should check it out sometime. It's a really good podcast about the show King Arnold. Now, obviously, shout out to this episode in general. This is like an amazing episode of TV. Shout out to Craig Bartlett. Shout out to the writers, the characters, the voice actors, everybody. This is not an episode, unlike Harry, that I would be able to put on and watch again. And like, though I can see why that'd be a really good processing device too. It's more of one of those where you like maybe want to watch it once or twice and then be like, okay, I got enough tears out, and I can't do this for a while now. But, or that's my take on it, rather. If you're just looking for a fun, goofy episode with some characters having a good time, and you want to hang out with your buddies in the Hey Arnold universe, maybe not this one. Maybe go to any other episode. But if you want to, you know, process and cry, this is just phenomenal. Truly, so good. A cartoon to sob to, I wrote down in my notes. And then, for actual shout outs though, cause I continue to just ramble on this particular episode. I would like to shout out Grandma doing, wearing many suits in this one, but she's in her karate uniform. She's later in her cowgirl uniform. And I just love when she calls Arnold Tex or Grandpa Tex. It's very cute and funny. And Grandma and Grandpa doing their exercises when Arnold walks in, where Grandma is sitting on Grandpa's back and he's doing like a weight lift of her, but she's meditating while it's happening. I don't really know what even they're doing, but it's great. Great scene. And then shout out to Arnold catching the egg during that competition in his little blue cap. What a guy. Arnold, sis boom ba. Go Arnold.
I gotta say, that feels like cheating to me. You know, that's essentially a catcher's mitt that he has. Everybody else was catching those barehanded. Why is anyway? Shout outs to Grandpa. The man is a physical specimen. He did 100 push-ups. At one point, he catapults himself back onto the tight beam by his ankles and his legs. I'm not an athlete, Cody. You're giving me the face again. I don't know what you call that
the
thing.
The tight beam, in quotes, Harry Mackin, 2022. Please continue, Harry.
Big shot? No. What do you call that?
Balance beam?
I think
or tight rope? One of the two.
Well, it's not a
tight
rope.
Tight beam does
that
not
was,
exist.
That was my mistake. That's a pretty tight beam. It's a pretty tight beam. Yeah, this episode's remarkable. I think I've said all I have to say.
Yeah.
Also, like, if you think that you can't rewatch this episode, try doing it in 2008 when you've been thinking about the Iraq War. And if you, as a little 15-year-old, is maybe complicit in all of that and destined to inherit and carry on a legacy of imperialism, it helps. It helped. So it's a good episode.
All right. Also, shout outs to the public school budget that put this Parents' Day together. I would love to know what school district they are in that they get that budget for Parents' Day. And also, shout out to Arnold's maternal side of the family, whom we will never know.
Sorry, I'm still...
Wow, that's a good point. That's kind of a bummer, isn't it?
It is. I'm still reeling from the Iraq War. Emily, save us from ourselves.
I wanted to make one note of it just in case anyone else is thinking about it. But when you see Arnold as a baby and he's got the giant, giant football head, does it freak you out a little bit? Because it freaks me out a little bit. Just like that head on a baby's body. I don't know. Also Rugrats vibes when he's crawling towards the camera with the blue Tommy shirt on. Yeah. I see you, Craig.
They definitely didn't have him wear the little plastic helmet thing that they give you when your baby's head is forming from the hospital to make it like the right shape. They skipped that step.
Oh no. And then it got out of control. They had the Mike TV treatment. It just kind of got stretched. That is from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Or that's the movie. That is from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We're sputtering to an end here. That I think that concludes that. We emptied our tanks. We had some feelings, shared some laughs, shared some tears. Emily, would you like to verbalize what you just put in the chat? I think that's a great note to end on. Emily, the floor is yours.
And the final shout out then will be for the MILF. Obviously, Arnold has a hot mom, so we had to note it as well. There's plenty of hot moms, namely Lorenzo's mom, which we have talked about many times. But it's not going to go unnoticed that Arnold as well has a hot mom. And hopefully we find her someday. Dot, dot, dot.
She looks like Laura Dern in Jurassic Park, don't you think? With like the down short boy. Shorts. All right.
Yeah. Shout out to hot moms everywhere. This has been another riveting episode of the podcast. I'm glad we ended where we did. Charlie, thank you so much again for being here today. If you could remind us where people can find you, and or if you have anything you would like to plug for the fine folks who may be listening.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's a great episode to guest on. You can find me on Twitter at CharlieMander13.
Very good. Also, pick up Decorum. We've plugged it on this show before. The Mackens and former guest Drew Tenenbaum made this great game, and it rules. No straight couples allowed, I think, is what we're going with. No straight couples can play Decorum because men get mad at their partners. Have I summarized that correctly? I should be the one getting the heat for this. Mackens can stay out of this one.
No, that's true. Thank you. Happy Pride Month.
Very extreme.
I'm just
true.
Saying that Big Bob, it reminds us a lot of some people we've seen playing the game, we should say, is all I'll say about that.
Abide by the proper decorum and you won't get roasted on a little nostalgia podcast called Stoop Kids. Like I said, this is us wrapping up the sort of episode run of season 3. Again, going by production code order, we will have in theory a little end of season recap, as we always do. So we'll have a recap for season 3. We just kind of shout out some of our favorite episodes, discussions, character moments. Maybe we'll talk about Lorenzo's mom. We'll just kind of see what happens. Well, maybe we'll talk about Arnold's mom this time around. Again, we'll see what happens. And as has been the case for the other seasons up to this point, we kind of drag our feet a little bit, throw out some other episodes because we don't want the season to end. Maybe that'll happen this time. So just, you know, stay tuned. we'll have some nice stuff in the podcast feed for you. But until then, thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody _ BH.
I've been Harry Mackin. Sorry about the Iraq War stuff. I'm being told it was a non sequitur. To be honest, I don't see it. I was telling my sort of coming of age story with Hey Arnold, and I think that's a really important component of millennials that came of age when I did. I thought I was going to get in trouble for the Yakuza stuff, but we move past that faster. You can find me on Twitter at Shitake Harry.
We clearly just don't want this particular episode or season to end. We just keep going and vamping. Season 3 has been amazing. Thanks for listening. I've been Emily Sue. You can find me on Instagram at StoopKidsPod.
And thank you again, all of you, for joining us on this journey as we go into the wild blue yonder.